welcome to Meet the Parents. Before we get into this week's podcast episode, we would like to tell you about our sponsors, NI Travel News. That's the newspaper right there. NI Travel News are your go-to paper for all of, would you believe it, the NI Travel News. All local and international travelling information. There are competitions in there. There's a US pullout in this one that tells you all about 28 pages. We've already discussed how many states there are, and I can't remember. So it's your last chance to enter the Aer Lingus flight competition and the competition for the Rabbit Hotel dinner for a family of four. We've still to go to the Rabbit Hotel. I think it looks class.
Yeah, 100%. We're going to have to pick that in.
It looks lovely. Yeah. And you can enter via the website or pick up your latest edition in ground espresso, ground coffee. With NI Travel News, Sean has bagged himself a nice wee holiday to Malta. Are you happy to leave your family to go away in Malta and have a great time, are you?
You literally stole all my lines. Like, you've done the whole read yourself there.
That's all right. It's because I'm very smart.
You are. Yeah, I'm going to Malta next week. By the time this comes out.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. Haven't done any research yet. I went to Amsterdam last week and I got there and I still hadn't Googled what there was to do. So I just went to the bar.
He still doesn't know what there is to do because you didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything.
You just went to bed.
I know. Our flight was delayed for 7 hours. We were stuck in the airport.
We just bumped into Andrew Ryan before this recording, who is another comedian, obviously, who Sean shared a room with, and he was all to me, I'm never sharing a room with your husband again. He went to bed at 10 o'clock.
They were with three women. So.
Yeah, with three. Yeah. At least that
it's
was
just
good
all the orgasm noises, just, you know, whatever noises they are, I don't know. But
I think the reason you're going on this PR trip to Malta is because flights are soon to be from Belfast to Malta. I think there's a new flight.
Yeah. Channel, even though I'm flying out of Dublin, which is weird because I think the flights are actually, by the time this episode comes out, I think the flights are going from Malta
to Belfast to Malta, which is handy. You've never been there. I've never been there. Can't wait for you to tell me
Don't even know where it is. Don't even know where it is.
It's in Malta.
Malta.
It's in Malta. NITravelNews.com.
The home of Maltesers.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
That is not true, is it?
No.
Okay. Okay. It might have been true. I don't know.
No. It is where malt comes from, though.
Okay, stop it.
It's not. It could be. I don't know.
Thank you again to NI Travel News for sponsoring.
Pick up your copy today.
I also need to tell you before we go any further about Sunny Side Up, which is our latest show, which is in the Lyric Theatre, Belfast, from the 10th to the 20th of April. So if you're lucky, you might still be able to get some tickets. It's a dark comedy about a couple's journey to having a family. It's a very funny, fast-paced, mental show where I play all 3,965 of the characters because I'm mad about myself. It'd be great to see you guys there. And if you've been following our podcast so far, then you know about our own fertility journey and having our kids through IVF. And that's like the loose sort of choppings of the storyline. And Sunny Side Up, see you there. Our guest this week is a fabulous comedian who is up to do a few gigs in the north. We're very excited to have her here. It's Emma Dorn.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, thanks for making the journey.
How are you?
It's pretty close.
You didn't
actually.
Make it for us, did you? You didn't make the journey for us. You made it for the Empire,
close.
But you.
Oh, it's close.
2.5 hours.
It's 2 hours.
That's right. Close.
It's close than Cork. It's close than Galway.
Well, you can't say somewhere's not that far just by saying another place. It's not. I mean, Malta's 3 hours away.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose. Yeah. It's. Further than my corner shop, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a really good benchmark for this. Will I go to the shop or will I go to meet the parents?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a nice little day out for me, isn't it?
You're doing a few gigs whilst you're up here?
I am. So I'm doing the Empire and Laveries, and then I'm back in May in the Limelight to do my own show, Dilemma.
May the 5th be with you.
May the 5th, yes. I'm glad you remember because I didn't.
Tour.
I just said May. It's in May and kind of styled it out. Yeah, May the 5th.
Am I going for a Rain Man, but that's a Sunday night?
It is Sunday night.
What about me? I only know that because I'm also
on
tour.
I didn't know that.
At the same time. Oh, it is a Sunday night?
Yeah.
Are you regretting that night?
I wish
Sunday
I'd been asked.
It'll be the best.
Sunday night's the new Saturday night in Belfast.
Okay, good.
Is that not a bank holiday weekend?
Yeah. Oh, mate. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good.
So
good.
I think, Dan, is the marathon on the Sunday? The marathon's on the Sunday, so there you go. So people will be hammered after one drink at your gig.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Thanks so much, funnier after 26.2 miles.
Oh, brilliant. Okay,
when
good.
When you're in Belfast, you have to do the marathon every year. That's the new thing they brought in from the peace process.
Oh, that everyone does it?
You have to do the marathon.
Do I have to do it if I come up too early? No.
Just don't come up till about 6. You'll
okay,
you'll miss
okay,
it.
Good.
Do you run? Do you?
I do go to the gym, but I don't run. Legs are too short. I'm 5'2". I'm not built for running.
You can run without needing to get somewhere, though. Do you reckon like my legs are too short? That mean like you don't. You can just run in circles.
Yeah, well, I could sprint when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, in school.
Yeah.
Like not like good, but long distance, I just puke. Can't. But
running
I
mean, is.
I did
so,
used to smoke, so that could have
so
been
so crap.
It is.
It's the most boring of the movements.
It really is. Yeah.
I hate it so much.
I don't mind weights and stuff, but the running, though.
I've been threatening to start the Couch to 5K for a wee while, only because we have the Comedians Boxing in a few months.
See, I would love to do that.
Emma,
you should have put your name down. Do it next year. Do it next
year. I said it to Mickey, but I think he was hammered. I met him in Galway and I said, Mickey, I need to get on that.
Don't believe you.
Because I box once a week. So I have this, my toxic trait is I think I can box.
Right.
And I would love to do it.
Are you doing like a boxer size class or boxing?
Oh, like boxer size. Oh, okay. Like I'm probably one of the youngest in the class. But let me believe I can box. Okay. I'd love to do it. Who could I be against?
Me. There's a massive height difference.
Yeah.
Like it matters.
There's a height difference at the minute between you and Brona Diamond.
I'm fighting Brona Diamond and she's very small. But I think the fact that
that's rude. No, that's the first dig that you've thrown there.
What did I say?
Oh, it's starting already.
She's very small. I'd love to be very small. She's probably run around saying I'm very tall.
All right.
The bitch.
So how tall is she?
I think she's
5 foot?
She's about 5'4", I'd say.
Okay.
But I'm 5'10". Come at me, bitch.
I see. Look at you with the attitude. I'm 5'10". Just the shoulders kind of went up there.
And here, not going to lie, exercised twice in the past 6 months. So come at me. Come at me, Brona. No, I think she'll give me a good fight. But you could fight...
Who's small?
Who's wee? There's no wee girls. You could fight a wee boy.
Yeah, I was just saying, is there any of the fellas that are real small?
Who could you fight? Oh, you could fight Shane or something, but he's fighting you.
Yeah. Next year, though, you could do it next year.
Yeah,
we could do North versus South.
That'd be
Wouldn't that be good?
That'd be good.
That'd be good.
Wouldn't it?
I'd love it.
Who would you bring with you? Who do you think would be good? Well, who are the Southern comedians? You can't have Chris Kent.
Can't, why?
Because he's an actual boxer.
Used to be.
Okay.
He's too good.
Yeah. Right, can't bring him. Who would be good? Tom O'Mahony probably good. You know him?
Yes.
Yeah, he seems scrappy
to
me.
He used to fight MMA, I think.
There's a few of them. Adam Burke and Ross Brown. There's a few of them that used to wrestle. There's a weird crossover.
What is the crossover?
I don't know. I think it's...
Maybe because whenever they used to fight, people would laugh at them.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
People seem to laugh at me, moving to stand-up.
Ross Brown's tall though, isn't he? Isn't he like 6 foot something?
Yeah, he's tall. Yeah, well, everyone's tall to me. I'm just like, tall. I'm sure we could get a bus of them.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, I would love that.
That would be really good. Yeah. Is there not a thing? I saw Justine Stafford did a thing last year and it was like, it was a Eurovision thing the comedians did.
Yes,
did you do that?
I did that.
You did that too?
Yes, but I presented it, which is like the easy one because they all like write their own songs, go off and record them.
They put lots of work into
it. Yeah, and I was just presenting, which was fine for me. But they put in full work, like costume, backup dancers, some of them. It started getting really like people really wanted to win and they were throwing everything at it. You know what I mean? Like it started to get competitive now. At the start, it was just for a bit of crack. But I think it's on again this year.
There seems
but I'm not doing it, so.
This appetite up here now for people who just want to watch comedians just
doing things.
Just make an ass out of themselves.
Because you just did darts recently as
Sean
well, didn't you?
The darts. Yeah.
It was great, wasn't it?
It was carnage.
Yeah.
It was silly. We all got really drunk. It was
that's what you have to be, don't you, for darts? Yeah. You have to be for darts.
It was brilliant. It was really, really good. And then there's the panel show that we're doing in a few months' time too in the box. And there's a lot of silliness
happening.
Stars
in the Rise we did as well. Stars in the Rise was good.
Yeah, for the tea with me, Stars in the Rise.
Do you all like each other?
No.
Or is it just pure money-making rackets?
Just money.
Okay.
Yeah. Just money.
Getting out of the house.
Yeah, because we don't really...
Like each other downside?
No, not at all. But there's none of this like camaraderie doing stuff together at all.
Is there not?
No.
Are you not friends with any of the comedians?
Oh, yeah. But it's just too, I don't know, it's too competitive. People are just like, no, I have tickets to sell. Fuck off. Yeah. The Eurovision thing is the only thing.
Who are you most friendly with as out of the comedians? I mean, you started doing a podcast.
Well, with Deirdre.
With Deirdre.
Yeah, she's mental.
I know.
She's so lovely though, isn't she?
We loved watching you on LOL.
Oh, that was, I was really bad at it.
You were great on it.
I couldn't do it though. I was like, Couldn't do
it. So for anyone who has watched, it's Last One Laughing. It's on Amazon Prime. Which we didn't realise until after we watched it, is that it's all over the world. There's all different. There's loads of them.
Yes, so they've done it in like Brazil, Germany, France, everywhere, loads of places, Australia. And so, yeah, it's 10 comedians in a, like in a house, kind of like a Big Brother house. And you have to try and make each other laugh, but you can't laugh.
Yeah.
So impossible.
What like, I love deranged. Seeing, though, is that most people got booted out by laughing at themselves.
Yes.
People would make a joke and they go, huh. And then that would be it. And I'm like, so how narcissistic are we all as comedians?
Yeah.
That everyone was getting themselves kicked out by laughing at their own jokes.
Yeah, because it's the anticipation of, I'm going to say something funny.
Yeah.
I found it so hard.
Towards the end too, didn't it get to the point where it just got like, if your lip went up a little bit, you were right?
Yeah.
Like
just, they had to no get choice. Picky because people were doing too well. I assume
people would still be
it
there.
It was going on hours because I suppose, spoiler alert, I got kicked out really early.
Yeah.
And although I'd been in there for a few hours. So I was in the little room with Graham Norton and sure, he has his gin, he has his wine. And he was like, do you want to have a drink? And I was like, go on, I'll have a drink. Because I thought once I was the first out, everyone would kind of keep, you know,
we'd all coming out quite quickly.
Yeah. No, not at all. I was in there with him for hours.
Before the next person was out?
I was hammered. They even stopped the show in the house to give them food because they were worried about them because it was going on so long.
Oh.
We didn't get food.
Oh.
They forgot about us. We kept
drinking. And Graham didn't get fed?
No. And then Tony Cantwell came in and Amy Huberman. We just kept drinking. By the end of it, I thought a different person had won. And I went and congratulated that person. Like, had to be escorted off the premises, like belubas. Went home, my fella was in bed. You know that thing of like, I grabbed his face and just, with a warm breath and told him everything that happened.
Yeah. just like word vomited on him, everything that happened. Did you tell him the right person that won?
No idea until the next day we'd go and do our talking heads. And they started talking about the winner. And I was like, oh, fuck. I thought it was someone else.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hammered. Hammered.
So, I don't care. Spoiler alert. Deirdre won. And it was
no!
Jason Byrne.
I thought Deirdre had won. So, I went up to congratulate Deirdre.
I'm really drunk
and
right now.
And I was like, Deirdre, you were the winner all along. You were fantastic. And Jason's just there, so he must have thought I was being a
passive aggressive.
Yeah. Deirdre's the winner forever. Woo, Deirdre. So I didn't know until the next day.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's brilliant. Why did I think Deirdre won as well?
Don't know.
Was she maybe deserving of winning? It was very close.
Yeah, it was just when it finally ended. It kind of nearly doesn't matter at the end then. Because they kind of did the confetti and it was all like whatever. But you won't see me at the end because I'm hammered.
Yes.
Everyone else is walking through the tunnel like, whoa.
Sniffing the confetti.
No, I'm just like licking a wall or something. I'm finished. But it was good fun.
So when it got to a point, didn't it, where people could just go out and like do bits of material to everybody?
Yes.
What was that like? Performing and watching, knowing you couldn't laugh, because that's a comedian's worst nightmare, obviously.
Performing to other comedians.
Yeah, so we all had bits where we had pre-prepared what we were going to do on stage, but you had to wait to get like the okay from the producer because they couldn't have everyone just like running through to the stage, because that was the bit where you could probably like compose yourself and not laugh. So everyone kind of wanted to do that stuff. But when somebody went on stage, most of the time, it wasn't that difficult. Because for a comedian not to laugh at another comedian on stage is like the easiest thing.
Yeah.
So it was actually
The stuff that would catch you off guard that might make you laugh. But if somebody's on purpose trying to make you laugh, you're fine. Yeah.
So at the start, people were being nice. And when someone would get off stage or finish a performance, people would say, oh, that was very good.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't mean it.
But they were kind of like at the start, like, as in, I would have laughed if I could have. That was very good. But then as it went on, nobody cared.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good.
Because there was some random cringy stuff. Because Ashley Bay did a song, A Woman's Heart. She sang A Woman's Heart.
Yeah. And she's like,
Yeah.
That was funny. That was funny. Because then sometimes you found you'd do that thing of you'd be tempted to laugh just to break the tension.
Which is the worst, because then you just get caught.
So you were laughing for all different kinds of reasons, or even I was like, oh, I do a thing of like, I laugh and smile to like basically tell someone to fuck off. Like I just go like that. And then I kind of walk away and I was catching myself doing those kind of smiles and laughs. So yeah, it was all different types of laughs.
Yeah.
That I wasn't expecting at all.
Do you think you could do it?
Last one laughing?
Yeah.
Or not laugh?
Not laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see backstage at gigs though? Do you not see like where you're watching a comedian, then the comedian comes off and you're like, well done, that was brilliant, that was so funny, but you didn't actually laugh once.
No,
you're
I know.
Just, yes.
It's just
you're dissecting it.
The theory of it, or you know, the seeing it on paper almost.
But I get really silly giddy.
Oh, you do, yeah.
And like a wee bit weird, like it's get like really just really giddy where probably need medicine or something, but like do you know it's like why you and I think that would happen to me. I would take a laughing attack.
Well, you know, Dave McSavage, he got hypnotized before so that he wouldn't laugh. So he took it really seriously. So
he got hypnotized
before the show?
Before the show.
No way.
So he showed me on his phone, he had these recordings.
Did they hypnotize him to put the fucking beans in his pocket? Because
well, this is
the rarest thing.
So they hypnotized him so he wouldn't laugh. And he had all these recordings. I assume kind of like in Friends when Chandler is getting hypnotized. Not
you're
to
a
smoke.
Woman.
Yeah. You're a strong, confident
strong,
woman.
Strong, independent woman.
But then when he came to do the show, he was so serious. Mm-hmm. See, because you still need to have like the funny side of yourself to make people laugh. And like, yeah, he starts putting beans in his pocket. Like he was putting on makeup for about an hour or something. I don't know what he was doing, but like he lost his mind.
Yes. But also very early. I think the first thing he did was put beans in his pocket and then eat them with a spoon from his own pocket. And it was like all I could think about. And there's like textures and stuff that I hate. And I was like, them wet beans are and has up against his thigh.
Yes.
And for some people, they might enjoy that. But for me as a guy, I would not like a wet bean up against my thigh.
No.
I'd love that. I would love that. That's Christmas.
So dirty. I didn't realize how dirty that sentiment still said it.
Being able to flick it too would be...
like a wet bean.
Yeah. So we had hours of fun with the beans, but I couldn't believe he put them in his pocket.
It's Megan.
And he never brought it up again. He just filled the pocket and he
that's
never...
That's what's funny about it though.
Yeah, psychopath.
But he never even it. Like, you know, bits that were edited out, he never said, because they were caught every time someone got like a yellow card or a red card, so you would have a little like chat and a laugh then
let it all out.
He never once said, oh, I'm regretting putting those beans in my pocket.
I bet you thought about it the second he done it.
He's very eccentric though, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, like he had a breakdown, but everyone was like, he was very much himself. Like nobody was like, is he okay?
Yeah.
He was going to have some sort of breakdown. We just didn't know what type. So, yeah. He's great.
Brilliant.
You have two kids.
Three.
You have three kids, that's
yes.
right. Oh my
yes.
God, that's right.
I have three.
What age is your eldest?
20.
20.
Yeah. So she's going to be 21 in May. Mm-hmm. And then there's a 10-year gap.
Yeah.
And then he'll be 11 in May and a 9-year-old.
That's right.
Yeah.
And do you enjoy that big gap? Would you prefer to have bing bang bonged them?
No, I wouldn't have bing bang bonged them because I was 18.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So there
he
was
bing bang bonged us at 18?
20.
20.
So, shows him
a so first at 20.
Yeah, first one at 20.
He had three kids by the time he was 24.
Yeah, 24, 25.
Yeah. So what was
a moment of silence?
What was the thinking behind that?
There was no thinking behind it. That's why it happened.
You thought you was like, this is what I should do.
Yes.
Somebody told me this is what I think you should do. I think, and then it just kind of it was almost like there was no decision making when I was raised. It was almost as if like. I don't get to decide anything for myself. Do you know, my parents were like, this is what you're wearing, this is what you're doing, this is where we're going. And it just kind of just went on from there.
Because I think it's as well, it's when you're raised in a Catholic household and you know, you're having a baby already with somebody, it's then right, okay, so now you should get married and you should have more children and this will be your life. Do you know
yes,
what I mean?
Okay.
And that was it, wasn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. Just strict parents and then... I'm trying to almost like watch what I say and be careful how I word things and stuff. But three kids and love them all to death.
But at the time you were
So hard. Yes. So hard. I'm sure you.
Yeah.
When you're so young.
Like it's, because I almost feel like I didn't properly grow up until I was nearly 30. You know, and start actually living on my own and making decisions for myself. Whereas when my first son was born, me and my partner at the time. lived between the two mums and dads.
Okay.
So it was almost like we weren't even raising a child as our own. It was like everyone was almost raising them, and I was still answering to my parents, and they were telling me what to do with my own child, you know, that kind of thing. Not in right. a really violent yeah. kind
no,
of way.
But no, that, but yeah, they were like co-parenting almost with you, because like, they were like heavily involved grandparents. They were still parenting
me in a way.
Yeah,
because you know?
You were so young.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, yeah, it was weird. But how was it for you?
Yeah. That's
tough, yeah?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, definitely tough. So I was 18, not planned at all. Basically what happened was, now I was always mad for fellas, mad, like loved fellas, mm-hmm. loved fellas, okay? But I was never a great one for, so I really put an emphasis yeah, yeah. on that
it's dick. Like, you don't understand how much I love the dick guys. Just, in case anyone's mistaken.
No, but I wasn't, I wasn't riding rings around myself, but I was always like loved fellas, mad for fellas, okay?
Wait, here, and, we heard you.
Yeah, yeah,
did you
yeah.
like, did you like fellas though?
Yeah, yeah, I liked fellas.
Yeah.
So my parents were quite strict, not to that extent. So my mom would she's not atheist, but she's not
a practicing Catholic,
she's not into it at all. And then my dad would have gone through periods of being like minister of the Eucharist, mm. but still he's very much pick and mix kind of chap, but would be more traditional. So my friend had a mobile home in Corktown in Wexford. I basically forced her into moving down there for a summer so we could just go help, like do whatever we wanted. And I was down there for about 4 days and got pregnant.
No way.
Yeah, and I fell off the walls, just poof, poof, pregnant. I think because they were so strict, I was the only girl. I probably didn't realize at the time, but I probably needed rules all the time, because if I don't have rules, I'll just go.
Do what you want.
I'll yeah. just go mad. I'll just. I need.
And was it a rebellious thing too? Almost as if like because there was so many rules, or it was. Quite I think. Strict?
Yeah, not getting pregnant. Like I wouldn't have wanted to have gotten pregnant, but I suppose the definitely ring. What was leading up to it was me like rebelling or whatever. But as far as I was concerned, I just wanted to have fun, whatever. So I found out pretty quick I was pregnant. I just knew. I was like, oh, I just had a bad feeling. And then I basically found out, and I was in like my last year of school. I was doing my leaving cert. Yeah. So that was extra thing then, because my daughter was due in May and I had to do my leaving. So I had
her. So was that in May as well then, I presume, yeah. at the end of the year?
So then I say I had her, and then it was like 13 days later I did the leaving. So
Jesus.
it was insane. But my parents were very supportive in the sense, like I was really afraid that my dad was going to be like disappointed, or, you know, that I'd be a disappointment. But the only thing I ever really heard him say about it at the time initially was, he said, oh, I quite like the idea of being a granda. So like very like sweet, supportive, you know.
Yeah. That's how it was with me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, they were really good about it. My mom was more, she was really supportive, but she was more grey, because I think just being a woman, like she'd be so supportive and she went to all the appointments with me. But then every so often she'd kind of stop and go, but how did you? Oh, it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What were you thinking? Oh, it doesn't matter. You're like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
as you say, because she's a woman, she's like, I know exactly what you have to go through now, and you're exactly. only her, you're her child. And you're her only girl.
Yes.
She's going, for fuck's sake, you have to go through pregnancy now. You have to go through childbirth now. Yes. You're only my baby. Do you know, she's probably thinking that.
Exactly, yeah. I think, yeah, like, my dad is probably a bit more black and white. Like, oh, well, you know, we love her. We're going to love her baby. That's the end of that. Whereas my mom is kind of thinking about, like, you know, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line. She's yeah. thinking of all the stuff you'll have to do. Like, yeah. the pregnancy's only really the start of it. She, yeah, that's what yeah. she's thinking. So, I had her and did the leaving, and then went to college in the September.
Did you?
Yeah.
But so like, your parents helped you loads then? They were able to help you with the
yeah.
with your daughter?
So they helped me, but they were very much like, I remember when I was doing my leaving cert, like I would come home from an exam and my mum would hand my daughter to me because she didn't want to take over.
Yeah.
So she was like, it's not my child. And she's like, it's too easy for the lines to get blurred. Like you, if you're living at home yeah. with parents yeah. and you're a parent, it's very easy for them
to just take to over. Just
do take what, over. Yeah. And she didn't want to do that. So she was quite like, I wouldn't say strict, but she was quite good at that. Like, right, there you are now. And I think even I remember, I'd say it was like oh, I don't know, maybe home from the hospital like 3 days or something. And they're like, okay, we're going out. And I was like, what? Where are you going?
Yeah.
But they really were like, no, we're going out, such that she knows
yeah.
that she is well able to be on her own with mm-hmm. her baby now. Like that she, you know, because you could get quite used to
yeah.
never being on your own.
And then it
whatever.
Becomes a problem to have to be on your own then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you don't know what to do or whatever. And yeah. And then, yeah, I think, but like, I kind of relate to what you're saying. I went to college because I thought like, oh, that's what I'm meant to do. So you have this huge responsibility. So you kind of go, I definitely spent a good few years going, not, I wouldn't say going through the motions, but definitely doing stuff that I thought I'll do this because I should do this or yeah. I'm meant mm-hmm. to do this. Like this will make people happy.
Mm-hmm.
This will kind of, in like in my eyes, if I go to college now and I get my degree, that will kind of rectify the big.
Yeah, this whole situation.
The, yeah, the big yeah. oopsie that I did
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So.
And did you finish at uni?
Yeah, yeah, I did. A degree in business and arts management. And
that's brilliant. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. With a wee baby years. So young like it is, and you're so young too, it is, that's a lot.
For the first like couple of years, I really did nothing else. I would go to like the freshers things.
Yeah.
I would go to them, but I had this rule like that where I would make sure that I wouldn't drink after 12, and then I would probably go about 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because I knew I'd be up early the next morning.
Yeah.
So like real discipline. But I'd say the last year was probably the year where I was starting to like, it was almost like the Incredible Hulk. I was starting to like come back to myself because yeah. she was getting older. I kind of feel like, oh, this is like
yeah.
loosening up a bit.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like,
I know, I'm still waiting on that Incredible Hulk moment. I'm still waiting on that.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, totally does.
Yeah, like we stayed for Paddy's Day there. We stayed with Diona's brother and his family.
Oh, yeah.
And they have three girls. They're like, what, 3, 6 and 7 or something like that?
No, aye, 3, 6 and 8, aye.
Yeah. Yeah, and because ours are like, months old and almost 3.
Yeah, that's
it was
tough.
Like we were still babysitting almost. We were doing everything, you know, like with them. Like
you're in that
we
mode.
We had to look out for every movement.
Was there and once can there just run around and play? And
just
we were like,
went
imagine.
And played the whole time. We were like, this is on the horizon. This is so close. We just yeah. have we're to like, ride the wave.
It's because ours are still at the age where they're a hazard.
Yeah.
24/7. Like Rocky is 9 months and he constantly just wants to stand up at everything. And you're like, you're like, oh, you're going to fall in the next few seconds. And he just constantly falls. But because he falls on his bum, he must have an arse like me. He's well cushioned because he lands when he's fine.
You put him on we put him in the bath. But because our daughter is older, we fill the bath up a bit more for her.
Yes.
So you're constantly holding him in the bath. But then recently I discovered, yeah. I was like, if you bath them separately, you can put a little bit of water in and then put him in and leave him. But I did that recently and it worked 3 or 4 times, but then one time last week he was playing in the bath and he farted and scared himself and he ended up slipping back onto his back and banged his head, and it was the most like chaotic 3 seconds of his life, but it was hilarious.
It
but
was
I was
fine,
like cradling him and laughing while also being like, I hope you're not too hurt, you know. It was unbelievable.
Yes.
Oh, and your poor back with all those baths.
I know. My back's still broke just from light. My kids are still so wee that they're constantly always like, both of them in your arms. You know, they're not the stage yet where they like don't come up.
Just still does, even when they do get a little bit bigger and they're holding your hand walking, they're just constantly pulling on your arm. Oh, yeah. No, soon it will be good.
Yeah, yeah. Soon, like,
that's
what
we keep telling ourselves.
Oh, when it happens so quickly, you're like,
yeah,
it's brilliant.
So then there's that big gap from having your first child to having your second. So what, nearly 10 years?
10 years, yeah. 10 years, pretty much. They're both May babies, so nearly like bang on 10 years.
And how was your daughter when then you had that? Like, there's 10 years and it's just been her.
Yes.
What was she like then?
So at first, first, it was just me and her for so long.
Yeah.
And then I met my fella, who I'm with now. So she was about like four or five. And then say we moved in together after about 1.5 years. So that was actually okay. Because I think that's always like a worry. I'd never introduced her to anybody at all. I was like, oh no. And then I introduced her to him. And I was like real worried that I was like, oh, how am I going to like manage my time between him and her? Because it had all been so separate before we lived together. And then I was like, oh, it's all meshed into one. But then what happened was the two of them basically, and still do now, just bully me.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Because that's how like, they bond.
Do you think they need that though? Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, what's the thing we both have in common? They just started bullying me from the get go. Yeah. 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 And I was like, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. So then, yeah. So I got pregnant when she was, say, 9 or whatever. And she was great. She was really excited because I thought, oh, 10. I was like, that's a long time not to have any siblings now.
Or all of a sudden have siblings.
All of a sudden have siblings or whatever. But no, she was great. She really, I can't think of her ever being like sulky about it or no, I think she was fine.
Ours are fine too for now, but there's I'm waiting on a time that there might be like a big put him down and do something with me or give me that. Do you know what I mean? Like, but there hasn't been any signs of that yet.
Yes.
But, it could be around the corner.
Sometimes sure. She would say to her brothers now, so like say 10 years on, she's 20, she would kind of hint like, they don't know how good they have it. They didn't have you when you were like
mental
is what she says.
And you love the lads.
But I think, you know, I love the lads, yeah. But I think she as well, her other theory is that part of it is gender. So two boys and then her being a girl, I don't know.
But then she also had you to herself.
She had me all to herself, yeah.
What more can she want?
Exactly.
She's and so you think rich. Maybe she wouldn't be as jealous too because you had two boys, whereas if you'd had a girl, maybe there would have been
different.
A bit of...
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I think, yeah.
How was that, like building a relationship with your partner and your daughter? Because I have three stepsons as well. And like it takes a long time for that to become, like it took years before me and the boys started even hugging and stuff. Because I didn't want to overstep any boundaries with their mum and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it took a long time for that to be normal in our house.
Yeah, it honestly, but the two of them, so they were like, she had her little Nintendo DS, which I knew nothing about, but he would start playing Littlest Pet Shop with her and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she just started to wrap him around her little finger, but in a nice way. So there was this game at the time, was it Moshi Monsters or something? You know, like.
Yes.
Like it's like a Club Penguin or something. Yeah. And I remember like coming back from a gig one night and I was like, what are you doing? And like he's on the laptop and it's like, oh, you know, it's a kid's game. And he's like, oh, I'm just trying to sort out the Smoshy Monsters for Ella. And I was like, oh, she has you.
Yeah.
Completely wrapped around her little finger. But now her dad, she does see him, but she wouldn't have seen him like, it wouldn't have been like an every weekend kind of thing. And maybe it's different with the dads. I don't know. I can understand now with the mother of children.
But I think as well, because the boy's mother is there.
All the time,
you know what I mean? Like they live with her as well. So it wasn't necessarily like, it was, maybe your partner wouldn't have felt so much about overstepping the boundaries because he's there more.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Probably. And I think maybe as well, maybe women might be a bit more sensitive to the nuances of like motherhood and all the unsaid stuff that's around the emotions of that.
And not wanting to step on each other's toes and stuff and maybe not wanting anyone to feel like there's a new woman taking over your kids, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think like what you come into is really must be really hard to navigate and just try and make sure that everyone...
It has been tricky over the years, but I think we've got into a real flow of it and everything sort of sorted and
we mastered it. We figured it all out. But for a while, it was kind of a wee bit just.
So everyone's new to it.
You didn't know what your job was, and you didn't know it. Like even like I always said to the boys too, I was like, just call her Diona. You know, this is Diona. Just that's what she'll always be to you is Diona.
They kept calling
you know,
the asshole, and I was like, it's Diona. They pronouncing it wrong.
Just the way they're saying it.
Must be because it's Irish.
Like Diona would be like, good night, everyone. They're like, it's Londonderry, bitch. Like they were just really horrible to her at times, but.
They really were.
Do you know what I thought was harder? For me, it was actually the harder thing was being in a relationship.
I know what you mean.
Like that was actually the harder thing, or like living with somebody. I'd never lived with somebody before. Mm-hmm. I'd done everything by myself.
Yeah.
So I think that was actually the harder thing because then we moved in together, and this years ago, but I was making like these huge dinners. And he's like, is someone coming over? Who's all the food for? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just making the dinners my mom used to make. Like, I was just trying to like be my mom.
Be the mom.
Yeah. And like, he's like, I'm never going to eat all of this. And I was like, you have to fucking eat it. But then this
it's like you're playing house.
Yeah. Playing house and trying to do things, and I just kept buying cushions, and he's like, we don't need any more cushions. And I was like, I don't know what to do.
When we first moved in together, thinking it was dead exciting going doing the grocery shop and all.
Yeah!
I feel like I've been grown up, and then like, because whenever I was for years living as a student, like you don't really do a grocery shop. You might just go to like Spar and buy like whatever for dinner that day, you know. But when you actually go to your first grocery shop, you're like, I am really living, aren't I? I'm like such a grown up. Yeah. And now I can think of anything worse than going to the grocery shop.
Yeah. You're playing house. That's totally what it is at the start.
And then you realise house is shit.
Yeah, because it's every day.
Yeah, it's all the time. Yeah. Why am I still playing house?
You're always just getting milk and bread constantly. You're just like, oh my God. What the fuck is wrong?
Always Cheerios on our floor too.
Always.
You need to get a dog. That's what we did.
We had a cat. But cats don't eat Cheerios.
No, you need a dog.
That's where we went wrong.
No.
Get a dog.
I'd rather Cheerios on the floor.
If we eat cat food.
Yeah.
And we don't.
If we drop it, it'll be fine.
Just eat cat food, yeah.
How
long have you been doing stand-up for?
10 years.
Yeah.
So actually, it was when I was pregnant, after that 10-year gap. I think I was just like, it wasn't really stand-up, but I wanted to do like something performing, something funny, but I didn't know. Like, I thought stand-up was like really shut off to everybody. And then I didn't realise how easy it was. Because, you know, they would have seen like the stand-ups on the telly, but didn't really know about like the
you
clubs.
You just go to clubs. Yeah.
I didn't know. I wasn't like going out to the like pubs on like a Tuesday night in town or whatever. And then I was like, I started like looking it up online. I was like, oh, there's places you can go. And I signed up for it, and I thought it was going to be like 8 Mile, like Eminem.
That's
what I thought it was going to be, like real
palms are sweaty. You're going on there already.
Well, I lose yourself. I'll be puking at the side or whatever. And then I went, and I was like, oh, this is all grand. I was like, okay. But I think it was when I got pregnant again. So that now I'm like in a relationship. It's planned. I'm all like happy out. I think I was just like, oh, fuck, like that 10 years went really fast. And I actually haven't done anything really. I'd done little bits of like I'd done little like tiny little bits of like telly stuff, but then I think I was like, oh, I need to actually do something, because if I don't, the next 10 years is going to go past. And I was too embarrassed to kind of say that I wanted to do things, and I was just kind of hoping that somebody was going to ask me to do something. Do you know, like when you were
like Marilyn Monroe gets discovered in a coffee shop?
Everyone's getting discovered. This is what used to really piss me off.
Shirley Theron's like, I was just walking through an airport and some guy handed me his card, and next thing you know, I'm at the Oscars. And you're like, fuck you, Charlene, right? I'm in the pavilion on a Monday night.
Exactly. That's what everyone says. Nobody says they went out of their way to do anything. Everyone is just getting discovered. So I kind of thought it was like, do you remember when you were a kid and you'd be in a shop? I don't know if you used to do this, but if I didn't have money for sweets, I used to stand at the sweets looking sad and hope that somebody would buy me sweets.
Really?
Yeah, did you just not do that?
No, I did you just steal them?
Well, that actually is a much better idea. But I used to do that thing. I'm like, I just look at them sad, and then I'm like, who was going to buy you sweets? Like,
and did nobody buy you sweets?
No one bought me sweets.
Right, so that's when you decided you shouldn't do acting.
No, that's what I decided. I can't be just waiting there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. No, you said my acting wasn't good enough, that I should have been looking, I wasn't looking sad enough.
Yeah, if you looked sadder.
Oh, yeah.
You should have gone out to the roads and looked for people that own vans and went, could I have some
sweets? Yeah. I know.
It makes it easier for them too.
Yeah.
You should have done.
So, I just decided then. So I was I? No, I had just had Joe and I signed up for an open mic night. And I think my poor Shane thought I was... It was like it was postpartum or something, because I was like, I think he was like 6 weeks old, and I was like, I'm gonna signed up to do stand up, and he's like, great. He's just like, what is she talking about now?
That is the maddest thing to do, like for the first time when your baby's 6 weeks old.
Yeah, but I think my first time round was so traumatic that the second time round was so easy.
Yeah,
because I had a baby and I was like, I don't have to do any exams. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I was like, this is
I'll create an exam.
Yeah. It was so easy. Yeah. I was just like, oh, this is grand.
Do you know, that's what I almost feel like, because our first time, like whenever we had winter, like our daughter too, it was so traumatic. It was like COVID and she was a really unsettled baby. So then whenever we had Rocky and he was really easy, it was just like, is this what people experience all the time when they have kids? Because this is like,
okay, so was he like sleeping and stuff? And you were like,
great wee sleeper, great feeder, happy all the time, laughed at everything, was never home any bother. Well. We did a home birth. He was just like dream wee baby, still is.
Home birth.
Yeah, I did it in my living room.
It's amazing.
And our sofa will still tell the tale because my guts are still on the sofa. Haven't cleaned that sofa yet.
And how long were you in labour?
2.5 hours.
Oh, so quick.
It was 18 hours the first time and 2.5 hours the second time.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was
great.
I was
just about to go on stage and I got a text and I was like, my waters broke. Yeah.
And he went, no, you didn't go on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, did you go on?
Yeah, I did like 10 minutes and then just went home. I was supposed to MC, so I'd have been there for the night.
You did the gig anyway. That's fine.
But I was going to stay for the whole gig because the first time you went into labour, it was almost 24 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I was like, I could easily just do this whole gig and then go home. And technically I could have, but I'm glad I was there for the majority of it.
Yeah, and it was like, we do feel like that is even factored into why our child is so easygoing and so settled.
He
just came into the world into our living room.
And then we just lay up on the couch and had a glass of champagne like an hour later while the midwives were down the kitchen just filling out paperwork.
But genuinely recently, did you like flip the cushions in the sofa or something? Or at the end you were all, oh, we forgot to clean. They're still covered in blood.
Yeah.
Lucky
you don't have a dog. I wouldn't be like to be giving birth in the sitting room with a dog trying to get its hands on the afterbirth. You know what I mean?
Your placenta. I was going to eat my placenta.
No.
Not eat it, but you remember I was going to get it made into capsules.
Yeah. No. What? Bollocks allergy.
And that is a pile of shite, doesn't
it? Yeah. Well, you're literally eating your own shite. It's waste.
Well, that is true.
It's waste. It's bodily waste.
But it wasn't waste 5 minutes ago when your child was eating from it.
I don't want to look at these people that use mirrors and all. No.
To look at their placenta or their
bits. No, and touch. No. I don't want to know.
When you were giving birth?
Wouldn't touch anything.
Oh, I felt his head in my hand.
I would need to be in
You've
denial.
You've been in the nunnery for 2 years. Not her riding rings around her and she wouldn't even touch
no,
her own bits.
No, I've had natural births. Yeah. Like, I'm not squeamish about the pain, but the whole...
No. You don't want to feel the head coming out? I could not wait. No. And I'll tell you something. I think about that every day. Every day I am reminded about feeling his skull coming out my dit. And it's weird.
Too much.
And I remember just, because you're almost going like, okay, we're near done. A couple more minutes and we're done.
I have to be in denial. I can't accept that that's actually what happens. I couldn't.
That's mad.
I
think it pulled him out, didn't it?
I think you did. Under the water.
Now that I think about that, it's really...
Well, you had the pool and everything.
Yeah, we're in the pool in the living room, I.
Still
there.
You had a bit to do. You had to pump the pool up, get the water in the pool.
He did.
Mm. Put out all the covers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should have covered the sofa. Because then I went and lied down.
We did cover the sofa, but just not enough.
Just
it
not
was
enough.
Just towels instead of like
proper. Yeah, because it's endless, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. And then... Do you remember the night, I don't know if we've ever said this in the podcast, and actually if anyone's squeamish, turn away now. But do you remember the next day, when it, or was it that night, or whenever it was, and you emptied the pool?
Next morning.
There was a full human organ.
It was like
we've still not figured out what it was.
Like a chicken breast, like a raw chicken breast.
Bigger.
But was it covered in blood?
Three times. It was, the whole thing was purple, red, you know, like the whole thing. It was a full... I'm convinced I'm now missing an organ. We just haven't figured out what it is yet.
It's a kidney. It's a kidney.
Honestly, it was like a kidney. It was this huge thing. And Sean was like, does this belong to you? And I was all, probably. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think we can put it back.
You should have gotten him to eat it and then he could have given it back to you.
Yeah.
So it was Willy. Remember, wasn't it? Really? Yeah. Done that.
But it went into the bin and we're just...
We're not scumbags.
Yeah.
Into the recycle.
Back into the earth. And we're just waiting each day to see if I survive it.
Yeah.
To be honest,
I'm just thinking it's a really good deterrent, though. You know the way when you have a baby and people think it's an open door policy and they can call whenever they want?
Yes.
If I'm going to your house and you're like, that's the couch I gave birth on, I'd be like, okay, well, I'll leave you to it.
Yeah,
thanks,
we haven't so even much. Flipped the cushions.
Yeah.
You've just sat on the blood.
We need to do that soon.
Yeah. I know, but yeah.
Before we sell it.
Clean the sofa. I think it's a nice wee memento.
Think so? Look at your child. That could be a memento. Yeah. Do you mean?
You could get a little hashtag spa and get someone out to clean.
Yeah.
the couch.
We were lazy.
And these guys are so good. I gave birth on this couch and look at it now. What colour is the couch?
Oh my God, I need to do some sort of paid partnership for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll find somebody.
Yeah. You're on tour soon?
I'm on tour. I've started.
You're started?
Yeah, okay. I'm on tour now.
Currently.
A lot have sold out, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Sorry, yeah. I sounded so surprised saying that. I didn't mean to. I meant to, it sounded like excited.
Do you know what?
I have to say,
now, this is my... You're going on tour soon. So how many stand-up tours have you done?
This is my first stand-up tour.
So this is my second tour. I've done shows, but this is like my second tour.
Full tour, yeah.
So last year when I was doing the tour, it was more like... It was like all of a sudden, let's put on a tour. And I was getting, it was basically like, I just got bits from sets, I'd been working around and built the show like that. Whereas then this year, I knew from the beginning that I was getting my show together and doing a tour. So it's been much more enjoyable, even the material and everything. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm loving it. It's so much fun.
How many dates have you done so far?
I've only done 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
And then I have a couple now this weekend. So kind of now till the end of May, and then I'll do more October. So I'm going to do some dates in the UK and then probably go back to the places that were sold out, hopefully.
If you're doing UK dates, you're doing... Yes. When are you in Belfast?
May the 5th. Yeah, I think.
Do you feel like you're... all your stuff is completely transferable? Like sometimes I'd be worried, if you're doing something that's very local, that you'll maybe fix that.
There's a couple of bits, but I've only been like dipping my toe in the UK now because when kids, the age there.
Yeah.
So I did Leicester Comedy Festival and it was actually great to see what words, words that I would have used that I wouldn't have thought about, like the word lick. I would have described my... do you not use the word lick?
For like somebody who's a suck up?
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah, but they didn't get that at all. So I was talking about my older brothers being licks and they were like, what's a lick?
Yeah. So no, it wouldn't be massively used up here, but it is, people would know what that is.
I'd have stuff, well, there'd be obvious stuff. I'd have a big bit about Ireland's fittest family.
Yeah.
But I can't use that in the UK. How do you explain that show?
Is there not a UK version of that?
No. Somebody said to me, it's like a cross between Countryfile and Gladiators. And I was like, okay. But I was like, I don't think their minds can even comprehend that one of the races is carrying buckets of potatoes. Like, it does sound made up. So there's
sometimes that's better, though, doing stuff that's local or, that's...
Well, you have to then set it up and explain.
Yeah.
Like work. Sometimes it's funny with it being explained where people have this concept now of just like Countryfile meeting Gladiators.
I might try it and see. Or like, I think I'll probably just change it, but I'm probably more... I feel like I'm more aware of that now. I wouldn't, like back in the day, I wouldn't have had a clue.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't have even thought like that.
Yeah. But I think it's difficult, isn't it? If you're gigging everywhere and you're like, no, these are things I have to change. But a lot of the time, I think that people do just follow along, with the concepts. Do you know what I mean?
I don't mind changing some things because if the local audience is going to get it in a different way,
or you can
tell the joke differently, I don't mind that really. I think that's fun. So. Yeah. That's what I'm saying today. We'll see. I could end up in October going, oh my God, half of this doesn't work. But so I'm willing to find out.
The likes of you doing the Empire tonight then and Lovies tomorrow night, will you do stuff from your tour or is this completely separate? Or
I don't know, actually. I haven't thought about it. What do you think I should do?
I don't know.
Some of my stuff.
Will I? Do my stuff, give birth to me some room.
Do it heavy. Just say,
I don't know, because sometimes people say, don't do stuff from your show. But then I've been told, people like then if they hear you do stuff and then go to see the show and they're like, oh yeah, this is the, I don't know.
Yeah, so, I would just do whatever you want to do. You see all these rules that people have, because a lot of comedians too don't like to when I do the blame game, I think Neil's very much like, he'll not do something in his show that was ever aired on the blame game, whereas I don't care. I'd be like, oh, that was funny, I'll put that in my show, I don't mind, because it works. Nobody watches the blame game.
I think it's safe.
It's fine.
Even posting clips on social media too, people are like, oh, I don't want to give that away, but it doesn't matter. When you look at the percentage of your audience that actually see the clip, actually more people that have never seen you before will have seen it than your actual followers.
Than your actual people who'll come to the gig.
Would you put out clips now before a show of what's going to be in the show, or would you wait?
I think you could
snippets,
do
snippets maybe, as long as you're not giving away too many punchlines and things like that. But
Yeah. I think you can't play it too safe. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. We'll have a good one tonight and have a good one tomorrow night. Yeah. Have a great one on May the 5th.
Dan, can we stick the ticket link under this episode? Is that okay? Yeah. So
where are you on the limelight? Where are you on the May 5th?
The limelight.
Limelight. Yeah. Did you say that right? Happy days.
Yeah, because I do want to I do want to start gigging up here more because I'm like, if I'm going to go to the UK, why wouldn't I go up the north?
We're in Ireland. So.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. No, but like, I had to, my agent, I've actually left now, but I was like, they gave me all the dates for the tour, you know? Yeah. And I was like, it's not Belfast Day.
Oh, really?
And they're like,
You should do Derry as well.
And they, so they put, yeah, that's more. Why I wanted to do that later. Do but more. I was like, why not?
Yeah. There's like, such an appetite here at the minute too for stand-up. Like, it's thriving up here. So this is the perfect time is to come up here and gig more now, yeah.
Absolutely. And generally, all the comedians up here are so lovely, so friendly, so supportive, so helpful.
Yeah, none of us have beans in our pockets.
No one.
Only Sean. Sean's the only guy with the beans.
Oh my God, I can see which pocket I'm from.
Emma, thank you so much for joining us. Tickets to Emma's show, the link is in the description, as well as linked to Sunny Set Up and all that jazz. See you next week.